And now, with thanks to Bright Ideas Lighting, Talbot Avenue at Lone. Building or renovating? They work with you to create a bespoke lighting plan for your home. Brightideas.ie. Toshokta na Gelgan Shafos, and dig into. Do you understand? Yes, Thofar Fix It or Ash. The time is at hand. For O'Clunon, Brian, August O'Fokna, Liam, to enter our do it yourself Coliseum. Will you try rhyming with Liam?
Have you any idea what he just said?
No.
No.
But I do know he said how difficult it was to rhyme with Liam. You should talk to Liam's wife. Living with Liam is much more difficult.
Sha.
I don't know if I said to you before. Sometimes a customer in the shop will say, you know, go and meet a Margaret or something like that in Irish. And, you know, you reply with the very, I'd say, the Nahabare or something very, very limited Irish, but I'd have a couple of phrases like that. But then the problem is because you reply in Irish, they launch into a whole, and I haven't a clue, not a notion. It's terrible, really, that, it, you know, if you don't use it, you definitely lose it.
Even the utterances there have put a cold shiver up the spine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brings me back to the Mochanilacht.
Oh, yes.
Wow. God almighty, that is incredible. I hope
if you're in primary school these days, it's far more fun and accessible. And
yeah.
I'm sure it is, but I don't want to find out.
Wow.
Anyway, down to business.
Yes.
Brian is here from Clunan's Hardware in Tullamore until 11. And our first query says, my grandfather has light fittings in his house that say maximum 60 watt bulbs. Unfortunately, his eyesight is very bad and he now needs brighter bulbs. But he won't allow a higher wattage because of the safety warning. He also ordered, or allowed me rather, to buy new fittings for him. Or he won't allow me to buy new fittings for him because he says they would be a waste of money. Any words of wisdom?
Yeah, so if you have a light fitting and it says maximum 60 watt, that is your traditional 60 watt bulb. And you can't put in stronger than 60 watt because of the heat involved. Hmm. It's not to do with the power going through it. It is like the electricity isn't the issue. It's the heat of the bulb. But nowadays, of course, you buy an LED bulb and a 6 watt bulb gives out 60 watts of light.
Of course.
And a 10 watt bulb gives out 100 watts of light.
And so LEDs don't produce nearly as much heat.
Any heat. So technically, you're putting in a 10 watt bulb. So you're absolutely 100%. So just get granddad, wasn't it? Get your granddad the strongest bulb that he could. Because I know, I remember this, my father, he liked, you know, it was like a landing strip at Dublin Airport with the bulbs, with all the lights on. But, you know, he had cataracts and they were removed. But he liked bright lights. His eyesight wasn't as good. So if he was reading something, he liked bright lights. And which is better for your eyes as well. So just replace, don't replace the fittings, just replace with LED bulbs and it'll be absolutely fine. So you don't have to worry that you're getting the equivalent of a 60 watt bulb or the equivalent of a 100 watt bulb. It's the rating of the bulb. So your LED 10 watt bulb, you can, if you want 150, if you want the equivalent of a 150 watt LED bulb, which would be 15, 18 watts.
You're still well below the threshold.
You're only using 18 watts. It's absolutely fine. So just you'll be fine.
So you could have up to a 600 watt LED.
In theory. Yeah, you can't buy them. But
I know.
Yeah.
Imagine how bright that would be.
Yeah.
Okay, our next query says, I cut the grass last week. Oh no, is it the season already?
Yeah, it has, not really. I cut throughout the year, I have to say, but yeah.
Anyway, when I put the grass cuttings into our compost bin, I noticed last year's cuttings have barely decomposed at all. And the bin is going to be very full very soon. Anything I can do?
Yeah, so look, I suppose a few things to say. Number one, grass clippings are very slow to break down because if you can mix a bit of food waste through it, it'll make a huge difference. Or else just get the enzymes in a packet that you buy, compost maker, there's a loads of different brands. Garata is the most popular one, but there's loads of different brands. And it's just a powder. And every time you're putting in your grass clippings, you sprinkle in a bit of the powder. But at this stage, the problem is, you see, the breakdown won't happen over the winter. It's too cold. And sometimes it's a mistake that people make in that if they have a plastic compost bin, which is obviously is not an attractive piece of garden furniture and can be a little bit smelly if you're putting the food waste in, they put it into the darkest hidden corner.
Out of sight.
Out of sight.
But in the shade.
Correct. Mm. And it needs to be in the sunlight. But of course, there's not much heat in the sun over the winter. So that's why nothing has happened. Now, depending on the type of compost bin, some people have a homemade compost bin, which is just four pallets, you know, made into a square and you hinge one and throw it in there and whatever. Sometimes you have the plastic one that lifts up. So you have a plastic bin with no bottom on it, if you want to put it that way. And so it's open at the top to put it in and it's open at the bottom to let the juices from the compost run down into the soil. Yeah, I know. But that's nature. So because it's in a plastic bin, and because there's been no heat, and because it's only grass, which is very slow to break down anyway, there's also no air. So the one thing bacteria loves is air. So what I would say is, if it's a bin that you can lift up, move over and drop back down again, then what you would do is lift it up. Now, I don't think there will be over the winter. So if you put grass on a compost bin, into a compost bin, and come back in a week or 10 days, there'll be all this white fungus growing on it. Now, you don't want to breathe that in. Now, the stuff that's been there for the winter won't have any fungus on it. It'll all be horrible, slimy stuff. And that's fine. But if you're forking grass with that white fungus, you should put on a mask just to avoid breathing in the spores. So what you would do is lift up the bin, move it over, get a fork, a garden fork, and put it back into the bin. But every time you let the air at it, you're activating bacteria. So at that stage, you're doing that, either put in a little bit of food waste between every few forkfuls, or put in some of the compost maker between every few forkfuls. And make sure it's in the sun, in sunlight. And within a couple of weeks, it'll be gone down dramatically, absolutely dramatically. And that's the secret, that the grass clippings on their own, it's also compact and tight. There's no air getting in there. But if you put in the food waste, the maggots get in there and they move everything around and they bring in the oxygen and the air, which speeds up the process.
Brian Clunan is here from Clunan's Hardware in Tullamore until 11. What shall I ask him on your behalf? 0818 300 103 is the number. 22 minutes to 11.
Mr. Fix-It, thanks to Bright Ideas at Loan, your garden and patio lighting specialist. Get the right advice before you start. Bright Ideas, Talbot Avenue at Loan.
Name withheld, please. Hello, name withheld. The question I have is a rather horrible problem with shrews behind skirting boards. It's a very old house, and I have set four traps, and I have used the peanut butter, as Brian often recommends, but to no avail. The smell wakes me up at night, as does the noise.
Yeah, whatever it is about shrews, they... Is it body odour? They're not using the right deodorant? I don't know.
They're related to you?
But they... oh, he's delighted with himself. I don't know what it is. They had the nest of shrews is a horrible smell. Like a nest of wasps or live mice won't smell. But the nest of shrews is a horrible, dank smell. So, but one of the things about shrews is they're so small that they don't set off a normal trap. So the listener doesn't say whether they're eating the peanut butter out of the trap, which sometimes happens. So if that's the case... I think it's quick snap. The only trap that really works with shrews well, very well, are the, I think it's quick snap, they're endomice quick snap. And instead of...
So the challenge being that the shrews are so small and so light, they don't trigger a regular trap.
Exactly. So the quick snap, if that's what they're called, they're black traps and they're made by endomice. And the mouse goes in or the shrew goes in and it's not the weight of his body that sets off the trap. It's his body going in, lifts up a little lever that sets off the trap.
Got you. Now, apparently, they're not eating the peanut butter.
Okay. So maybe try a different bait. So anything smelly, it's very unusual. Are you seeing droppings? are they getting to the traps? If they're in behind skirting board, are you seeing droppings? Because you need to put the traps where the bait is. Now, you know the way we would say don't use poison in the house because you'll get the smell of the dead mouse. So the corollary of that in relation to the shrews is shrews are so tiny that the smell will be very, very little. So instead of being a strong smell for a week or 10 days, it'll be a mild enough smell for a shorter length of time.
So, the difficulty is, what if you've got mice and shrews cohabiting?
They don't live together.
Right. No.
So it just might mean you might be able to get poison where you can't get a trap. That's the reason. So it's probably worth trying it. And the best of the poison that I've come across, and again, I just can't think of the name of it, but it's like a little pink tea bag. And it's pasta bait. I forget the brand. It's pasta bait. So it looks like a tea bag, except that instead of the brown of the tea bag, you can see this pink, flexible bait inside. But it's really attractive. It's sweet and it has liquid in it. Sorry, it's moist. And mice don't drink water. They get their water that they need. They get it from their food. Mm. So because this is moist and sweet, it's really attractive to them. And they actually, if you drop the tea bags around, the mice or the shrew will leave the bag. It'll eat the bait inside and leave the bag behind. But the point is, you can now get it places that you mightn't get a trap. So I would go down that route. I'd try the ender mice and traps, or I'd try the pasta bait.
Joe swears by his cats.
Yeah, well, it's hard to beat a good cat. You have two or three cats, have you?
Two. At the moment. We used to have three, and we lost one, unfortunately.
Very careless of you.
It was the big snow, and I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, and it just disappeared?
Well, no, he wandered in and dropped.
Ah.
So, anyway, thanks for bringing that up. My PTSD is back. Joe the plumber says the reason they're not eating the bait is shrews live on insects only.
Oh, well, people have definitely caught shrews in the traps, but I wonder then, what do you bait? We'll have to look into that. What do you bait your traps with? Do you know what you do? Go to the butchers and say, can I get a pound of mince and a jar of dead flies from the electrocutor?
There you go.
And there's your bait.
The original caller with the problem says, we have a cat. He's useless.
Oh, no.
That can happen too.
I know somebody who sent her sister. She worked in a food business and her sister was in boarding school. So she emptied the electrofly cuter into a little bag and posted it to her sister, who was very excited to get a present in the post. And the presents, the post parcels were delivered in the boarding school to the refectory, to where they have their food every day. And she opened it at the table.
How charming.
Yes. It went down very well with her sister.
Jerry the gardener, as opposed to Joe the plumber.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, we're getting a whole... And, oh no, Granny doesn't have a first name. She's just Granny.
But Jerry is wondering if the compost bin...
Yes.
That we talked about earlier is fully sealed. He says it needs to be sealed for proper breakdown to happen.
Yeah, so that's why the homemade ones of the pallets don't work terribly well. Mm. And that's why the plastic one, and sometimes people leave the lid off. Ah, it's handy, I'll leave the lid off. So he's quite right, I should have said that. Make sure you leave the lid on the top.
083 3010 103 on text and WhatsApp. Apparently Nutella, quite effective.
Yeah,
for catching mice.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on to our next question away from that particular issue. Morning, lads. Our 14-year-old was in the... we had that one already. Sorry. I painted the pine ceiling, which took ages and ages and ages, and was my first big painting job. Did our living room a few weeks ago, and it looked fabulous. Except there is now a knot bleeding through with a brown mark. And I'm just wondering, is there a solution without having to paint everywhere again? So somebody forgot the same block, didn't they?
Yeah. So if you're painting a timber ceiling, the knots always will bleed through unless you use a specific stain block. So it's not just the ordinary stain block that you would use for a damp stain. It's one that's specifically for knots. So they generally, well, historically, they used to always be shellac-based. And shellac came in a bottle, and it's shellac is what's used in French polish, and it's also used in a thing called knotting. So years ago, you used to buy a thing of a bottle of knotting, which, of course, somebody would come into the shop and look for a bottle of knotting. And it's, you know,
hilarious every time.
Exactly. Except he actually genuinely wanted a bottle of knotting.
Right.
So nowadays people tend to use something like Bin Primer, which is a shellac-based white primer, which is much easier to cover afterwards with your paint. Now, the problem for this listener is that he doesn't know where the knots are going to come through. This is the big problem. So if you do it, see, the shellac-based primers are more expensive. Although nowadays, they're still just as expensive, I think. There are now water-based primers that are specifically designed for knots, and they work really well. So it's like a water-based version of the Bin Primer. But it's still much more expensive than ordinary primer or ordinary paint. So the logical thing to do is just treat the knots, and then you can paint in the normal way. But now the problem is, you don't know where the knots are. So unless you either A, wait for months, could be a year or two, for each knot to stop bleeding through, and spot treat them. Now, it's not as bad as it sounds in that the paint is white.
Yeah.
The Bin Primer is white, but it'll never be the very same shade of white.
Look, you will have Hyacinth. Who will notice?
Well, you have to decide, because the Bin Primer is we call it Bin Primer, is so expensive that to do the whole ceiling could cost you €100, and then you still have to paint on top of that with your ordinary emulsion paint, or else you get a small tin and just keep spotting it as they come through.
Caller suspects they have a mouse in their car.
Oh no!
Is that possible?
Yeah. Now, the mice. The problem is, yes, absolutely. I mean, look, people eat in their cars and they leave crumbs and food, and kids in particular, you know, can leave stuff. So leaving food in your car is never a good idea. It's a great way of getting a mouse into the car. And it also can be a problem if it's in the engine, because if it does start chewing at wires in the engine, you know where that can go. That could be all sorts of problems.
Imagine if a mouse started chewing on an EV.
Ooh.
With your batteries and your lithium ion fires.
Yes, you could have toasted mouse very quickly, not to mention the damage. Yeah, wow. Yeah, so look, no food in cars. That's the bottom line. You try not to bring food into your car, because food equals crumbs and crumbs equals mice.
So unfortunately, ship has sailed here.
Yeah, ship has sailed. Set the traps. Set the traps with attractive bait, exactly as the listener said earlier. Peanut butter, chocolate, Nutella, all fantastic baits. And just make sure that you catch them, because they will do damage.
Don't envy that person. Will, please ask Brian how to clean the little radiator in my small toilet. There are brown spots coming through, and I was told it may need to be replaced.
Yeah, so the brown spots are rust. That's it. So the worry is a brown spot that's rusty is eating into the radiator. So if you ignore it, it just continues to eat
progress
and eat away.
And progress, yeah.
And you will end up with a hole. But yes, you have to be very careful not to. So normally with rust, you would say sand it aggressively until you're through to shiny metal. And then you can paint it with a rust primer, and then you can paint it with a radiator enamel. But you can't sand very aggressively with a radiator filled with water, in case you end up with a hole in the radiator and water is spewing out. And that's never a good idea. So I would say lightly, lightly sand with very fine steel wool, and then put on a rust primer and then paint again. Just get a small little tin of rust primer. The best of them are the zinc ones, so zinc 182 or any zinc-based, cold zinc-based primer, and then white radiator paint on top of that.
A caller says, save the planet, just kill everything that lives on it first. Nice one, lads. We are in that sort
We're
of
in
a
that
question
zone
theme,
at the
aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, we are. But you see, unfortunately, if I have mice in the garden, in the shed, I have no problem. But the problem is in the house, they can do damage to wiring, and left alone, they reproduce. And left alone, they keep reproducing, and the numbers go up and up and up. So, you know, now, I suppose you can get your mouse traps to catch them alive and let them go outside.
Final one for you. Quick yes or no on this. Is shellac paint good for kitchen cabinets to last a few years?
No. Shellac paint is like a pane of glass. So you cannot put shellac paint over a whole area because it'll end up cracking. Because it's like a pane of glass if you put it all in one long big piece.
Brian, as ever, thank you very much.
Thanks, Will.
You can find him at Cloonan's Hardware in Tullamore or back here next Wednesday from 10:20 or indeed in the Listen Back section of Midlands103.com.